Let's welcome everybody in. The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. NHL All-Star Week.
Yes.
Officially begun. We're squeaking in a few National Hockey League games. Not many. Till everybody shuts it down. The Toronto Maple Leafs hosting the NHL All-Star Weekend. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Mr. Mom this weekend.
I was, man. First off, let me just say, I love that little sweater, long sleeve polo thing you got going on today.
Really?
Really nice, yeah.
This old thing?
Yeah. I complimented him on him, too. I thought it looked good.
I like that.
Yeah. And I was under the impression that it's too old. It can't make a comeback.
Buddy, you may have had it long enough that it circled around and it's cool again. I really like it.
All right, we got clumsy Sammy McKee back.
Not clumsy. I'm all good today.
You're good today?
Yeah. I am coming off the weekend, you know, the really nice win for the Leafs, but I can't help but think about our poor friends in Detroit and that loss they had to the San Francisco 49ers.
Okay, we're going to jump into a ton of hockey here, but we got all week, so let's pace ourselves here by just discussing a little bit the magic of the Detroit Lions and the feel of destinies on their side to go back to a Super Bowl, which they've been once, have they?
Lions? I don't think so.
They
won the championship, but it was pre-Super Bowl.
50s.
Yeah, 50s. Yeah. It was before the Super Bowl existed.
All right. So, halftime, everything's looking great.
Yeah.
Campbell, who they hyped up beyond belief, right? He was a major story coming into this game.
Yes.
Just a wall.
And then he ends up being a major story coming out of this game for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not going to get too deep into the narratives here, but, you know, you stick with your gut. You are who you are. You got to that point by being aggressive. But all that goes out the window when you kick the field goal at the end of the first half. Because usually they would go for that, so they kind of change their thought process there. But then they don't do it in the second half, and it seems like he's all over the place. Some bad calls, some bad drops, some bad fumbles. And they just blew it. And they were right there.
Did anyone think Detroit and Buffalo were going to find their way through in the end? I mean, listen, it'll happen eventually, I'm sure. But it just feels like the NFL, the way it's going, Kansas City and the 49ers, boy.
On the other side of it, I just want to put out just don't bet against Patrick Mahomes.
Right. That's
smart. And I feel bad for Lamar.
Did you bet on Mahomes this weekend? Yeah.
We can talk about that in game notes. Okay. Or what's it called?
Game
notes. I don't know.
We'll find out about your game time. Isn't that
Colby's podcast? Anyways. I feel bad for Lamar because he's taken a beating today. The narrative train is out of control, but many a good man have gone down to old Patrick.
Yes,
The only people who've beat him, it's Tom Brady twice, and Joe Burrow beat him once, and he's the rest of his games he's ever played.
Lamar's the MVP this year, right?
Yeah.
So he's best player during the regular season.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just
can you make
get
a hockey
done.
Comparison here?
No, Lamar, if you will.
It's just, but doesn't know how to get his team to win when he needs it the most. And Patrick does.
Again, I was Mr. Mom. I watched 19 seconds of it. I did see the highlights, but yeah.
Me and Kipper were beat up watching every second. This guy's at gymnastics.
You know, I was at my wife. Yeah. I was at Epic Planet Fun when you guys were texting about it. My wife was on Long Island watching. They had a bit of a Clark Gillies Foundation night.
Nice.
Watched the Islanders play. Thanks for their hospitality. My mom was actually there.
Your invite get lost?
Well, I'm not saying just saying, but someone has to look after things on the home front.
We're glad you made it in on Monday, all in one piece.
I'm alive.
They didn't ruin you.
No hand, foot, and mouth or pink eye. It's a miracle.
Well, we're glad you're here. We're glad everybody's aboard on Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus from 4 to 6, and wherever you get your podcasts. When we had been at the midweek point, before Wednesday's game, we gave a lot of, a lot into the next two games in terms of maybe a bit of a fork in the road for the Leafs. Mm-hmm. They managed to get 4 out of 4 points.
Mm. I think I may have even made fun of the idea that they might do that.
And here we are, and mission accomplished just in terms of maximizing their return. And for that, you know, we applaud them. For sure, because no easy task. One of the top teams all season long, Winnipeg Jets. And kind of calms things at least going into All-Star Week. You know, we also mentioned if it got ugly towards the finish prior to it, maybe a lot of questions go into All-Star Week, but give them credit, man. They calmed the waters down.
Yeah, and really flipped every negative sort of storyline upside down. It was Ilya Samsonov is, you know, this guy going to the AHL or the ECHL. Mm-hmm. You know, it's Ryan Reeves. Where are they sending this guy to suddenly helpful? Tyler Bertuzzi, I thought, played a really good game. A lot of the question marks we had, now not all of them, but a lot of the question marks we had, you know, they played well at a time they're going into a break here.
Yeah, like we joked about it on.
By the way, I wasn't even through that sentence, and I get to see Kip going. Well,
we joked about it on Leafs Talk that this was supposed to be like narrative week.
Well,
and every narrative just got slapped in the face. It's like the power play all of a sudden comes through. Yeah. Ryan Reeves comes off the bench and scores a goal.
Yeah.
It's like all the stuff that was bad, all is good now. It's all good.
For a whole week of shows, we have positive.
I'm the Godfather meme. Just when I thought it was out, they pull me back in. That's me.
So I'll throw this to both of you. Did they answer some questions or did they delay some questions?
That's the one. Yeah, that's the one.
Wow, you're good at this.
Well, it certainly things like Ryan Reeves, you know, is a great example of someone who, in the perfect world of Ryan Reeves, that's what he does. He plays 7 minutes. He's in front of the net, causes a turnover. He's in someone's face. You love it. Now, do I think Ryan Reeves can do that 40 straight times now or whatever the rest of the season is? No.
No, but will he get an opportunity to do it for the next 40 games?
He might get an opportunity to do it two or three more times.
Like, was Ryan Reeves enough for you to say, yes, you got your job back on the fourth line?
No, not. But that's, it if anything, kind of created a problem. Because I see your point where it's like, I don't think that this is going to be, like, it's fixed and now he's just back. But you also can't have a guy come in and do exactly what you gave him a three-year contract to do and then send him to the minors.
Yeah.
So you got to give him another run now.
And Yarncroc, we learned, is out for some time.
Yeah.
Like, it's a broken hand. I'm not a doctor. But I feel like that's, what, 4 week injury?
Yeah.
5 week injury? Like, that's...
Three or four, yeah.
Okay. It's a substantial amount of time where, you know, I guess maybe Bobby McMahon's IR stint, he feels a little better now that Yarncroc's out of the lineup and he doesn't have to go down to the minors. Mm. But it does kind of feel like you're back to where it's going to be it's going to be McMahon and Reeves going in and out for each other.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, just, you know, we get caught up in the day-to-day of this team. As a singular moment for Reeves, Saturday was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, it really was.
Oh, how can it not be, right?
Yeah.
Because here's a guy that came in with a ton of hype. And first week, 10 days, it was great hype. Mm-hmm. And he managed to get into a couple of fights, and it was looking real, real good for him for a full season. And then, as we know, he fell off.
You know, I think, and I've said this before on this show, that I don't believe that people, a lot of enforcers who are later in their careers, Reeves is 36 or 37, I don't think he wants to fight all the time. And I kind of feel like he thought if he went out and fought a couple times early and set the tone, let people know I won't have to. And then he didn't fight for 20 games.
Yeah.
And that's not what they paid him to be.
And that's the danger of anybody 35, 40, especially in that role. And I kind of went through it too, but at a younger age where you're like, okay, how much do I need to do? How often do I need to do it? How much can I fake it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, of course.
Without putting myself in a dangerous situation.
Yeah.
When he's been out for a month and you've had 4 or 5 weeks to prepare the next game in your head,
you're fighting. Or
I'm just saying that you can be at your very best.
Okay.
And he's also, he worked hard. I mean, he did everything that they wanted him to do. His hands were better last night, right? Because he's been handling the puck for a month.
Yeah, the best play of the goal is the turnover he creates on the goal, right? He's hard on the forecheck.
Yeah.
Yeah, he chased down Josh Morrissey and wins a battle, gets to the front of the net, and tips one home.
Pretty wonderful.
But when you've got 2-3 weeks to think about your next game and prepare for your next game, that's a big difference than what you had mentioned earlier, just being complacent about knowing you're going to go in the lineup. And if you don't get noticed in this game, that's all right. There's the next game.
I wonder if, you know, the reminder he would have given the team and everyone about what he can be at his best is enough to keep him not in all the time, but as someone who's the 13th guy who goes in once every third game, you know?
I think there's a place for that.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. You know, one game and just 7 or 8 minutes of ice time, but you can kind of squint and go, that's what it could look like.
Yeah, and I think it has to be said that he was off for a month and was seemingly healthy for, 2 weeks of that? Yeah. Like, he's been on the ice with all the skills guys. He's been working with his,
Yes.
And he's been off.
Yeah.
But you start getting into the regular rhythm of hockey games where you're playing 2 or 3 times a week. He's maybe playing once a week, twice a week.
Heavy legs.
It's going to flip pretty quickly. So as a singular moment, it's awesome, but I don't want to make it have, a bigger... there's still a chance he ends up with waivers. Anyways.
Okay, let's go to Sheldon Keefe on Ryan Reeves.
Well, I love the goal, obviously. Well, first, he creates that possession for us by just really pushing the pace up the ice and putting some pressure on them, creates a turnover and gets us on offense. And then he's at the net, which, you know, is a clear plan of ours tonight, just to be around that space. And Gregor puts the puck there and gets a stick on it and get rewarded. So, yeah, huge moment in the game, obviously, to not allow them to build much of a lead and to get us all square there in the first period. But, yeah, Revo, I thought, gave us lots here tonight. He had lots of energy. His physical defensively was really good. I liked that line here tonight.
Well, he liked it enough that he would put him on the ice at a critical time. There was a minute left in the period, and I know a lot of coaches that wouldn't have put Ryan Reeves on with a minute left to go.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember the play inside their own zone before his goal, but Gregor had the puck along the wall and Morrissey came in and absolutely smoked him.
Lit him up pretty good.
And then they had lost the battle along the wall, and it goes back to Pionk, who absolutely hits a rocket right down the middle and he missed the net. Mm-hmm. Now,
if it goes in,
92, 95 mile an hour slap shot goes in and they go up 2-0 and Ryan Reeves is on the ice in the last minute. We're talking different today.
it's so funny because that's career changing for him, right? If he's an early dash in that moment,
early
they can't
dash.
Use him and you already couldn't use him and you go, you know what? What are we doing? maybe that's the
that's
end. But that's when your career's
the
at the
fine
very,
line here.
It's a game inches, boys.
Yeah.
What? 10 seconds later, he's down redirecting a beautiful, beautiful redirect.
Yeah, shot going wide. He pulls across the body.
And now it's a different story.
Now we're like, you can use this guy. Yeah. Get him in.
But good on him anyways.
I thought a noteworthy piece of Sheldon's clip there was he says that, you know, we're on top of the net, which is a clear part of our game plan last night, which shows up in the Tyler Bertuzzi no goal call.
Oh,
you guys want to do that part yet?
Not yet.
You want to talk about that?
Yeah, we'll get there. I just want to get, before we kick into all of that, let's just get Sheldon's overall feeling of beating the Winnipeg Jets.
Both games require a lot, you know, require a lot of work, a lot of perseverance and commitment, all those kind of things. But, you know, in this game here tonight in particular, I just thought we were really good in lots of areas. 5-on-5 power play, penalty kill, goaltending, depth scoring, Revo gets us going there. Lots of really good things here tonight. So it's a great way to finish this off and go into the break.
There we go. Positive stuff.
All right. Where
go Leafs go.
It's wide open for you, Sammy. Where do you want to go first? Because there were a couple of major storylines here, including Tavares scoring a goal.
Yeah.
Disallowed goals. Samsonov. Where do you want to go?
I don't like to do officiating, but something has happened in a hockey game that I've never seen before, and I wanted to talk about it with you guys. Mm-hmm. When Tavares got his stick slashed, in front of the net when they're already in the power play, and then he broke the stick and showed it to the ref, and then he put the arm up.
Yeah.
I was dumbfounded. I could not believe that happened.
Truly an embarrassing moment for the official.
Completely.
Yeah.
Kipper, what did you think about that?
I think it's probably the right call, but just the wrong way to get there.
Yeah. Like, he should make the call when he sees the slash if he thinks it's a slash.
You have to make the call, but
can't call the result.
There's also that leeway where there is a buffer zone between seeing an infraction, letting the referee absorb it.
Yeah.
And then
deciding.
Sometimes it's a split second, sometimes it's half a second. And in a hockey game, it can feel like a very long time, but there is a window.
You're right in that it was probably 1.32 seconds after, but it was like
but
a visible.
This one really, really looked bad because it looks like that I cannot form a judgment or opinion on my own on just the incident. And there's no rule that says a stick has to be broken to call a penalty. So all you've done is made it look like that is part and a big part of your decision and not your original thought on the incident on itself.
I'm a big intent, not results guy. Like, I always hate the idea that sometimes, you know, part of battling for a puck is lifting a stick, it's slashing a stick. That's part of the puck battle.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hate that when a guy's stick breaks, it's like, that's a penalty. It's like, it wasn't if he used a better stick. But in this case, I mean,
especially to put him up on a 5-on-3.
I don't know where the stick is at.
End the game.
Like, I don't know if it's
already
maybe
compromised.
Right. Maybe could have been chipped out of it already.
Could be just a crap load of sticks that you got off the last batch.
And that happens.
Right?
So to me, that in part and parcel, I thought the refereeing in that game, I don't really ever notice the officiating. I don't really ever talk about it. But I thought it was a little bit sketchy.
So
and
that,
I thought that non-goal call specifically was just super sketchy.
Imagine now that call in a playoff game.
God.
The ridicule that the referee will get because you need John Tavares to come and state his case with a broken stick to you, and then you decide if it's a penalty or not.
It's almost like they're given one back after the no-goal call that they felt, I don't know. So let's try not to spend too much time on it. But the no-goal play, you know, Willie Nylander is on top of the goalie after, is it DeMello who pushes him in?
I'm okay with the call.
Oh, I hate that. I knew
you were going
to
do that.
I was just hoping we wouldn't have to do it, but let's go.
I'm okay with the call.
How can you be okay with it?
You know what? I'm going to play a goalie union card here.
Yeah.
It's Nylander comes out of the corner, and he uses some of the blue paint.
He does.
To get, and when you're in that area, man, you're flying very close to the sun there.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole idea for the goalie, especially in his blue paint, is that he needs a chance to play any angle, any shot.
Yeah.
And Nylander took that away from him.
Yeah, but he didn't. He comes from the corner, so he comes through the blue paint, which is, I've seen Mike McKenna online be like, he entered a free will, Mike, I love you, but ridiculous.
But aren't you allowed?
You're allowed to be in there.
It's not 1996. Yeah. And you're so allowed to be there.
Of course you're allowed to be in there.
Mike goes, he doesn't leave the blue paint. He can't because DeMello's there. And by the way, he doesn't leave the blue paint as like Brett Hall in the crease, like millimeter of
Jamie,
a toe.
There was contact between Nylander and Hellebuck before the cross check. There's contact.
Okay, well, that's fine. But
no, it's not.
Yes,
it's not
it is
fine.
Okay, because the goalie, the goalie is allowed to reset after contact, and he has plenty of time to reset after that.
No, he got, there was contact, and once you establish there, I can't come out now and challenge any shooter I want. You're impeding the decision of the referee was made before the cross check. The Leafs challenged on the cross check. And the decision from the official to call incidental goaltender interference was made before. That's why they lost
the
challenge.
That's the softest baby garbage call I've ever seen then. Because he's on his way through and he's trying to get out. And DeMello's there. He's got nowhere to go. He's entitled to that area as much as DeMello.
But you skated into that tight area yourself. I didn't put you in there. You skated into
right,
that
and
area.
And he's trying to get out of it, which he's allowed
he did
to
not
do.
Not try to get
he's
out.
Absolutely. He's on top of the goalie.
No.
Doesn't even get touched.
No, no effort to get out. He just stood there and tried to hold his ground. And then.
And he's allowed to stand there and hold his ground.
But you can. But if you stop me from coming out, then you're impeding me.
The goalie's
me.
Not entitled to the white ice. He's entitled to the blue ice.
No, he's entitled
ice.
To come out and challenge.
He's not allowed to be on the white ice claiming that's his too.
But if I never get a chance to go out to the white ice because you're in my blue paint, it's interference.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't.
It is.
That's absolutely not.
Well,
then explain to me how I watched the Oilers play against Columbus where Zach Hyman is barreling through the blue paint. He gets pushed in. He almost decapitates Elvis Merlekins. They shoot the puck in the net, and the ref standing right there is like, he got pushed.
Yeah, he got pushed in. He got pushed in, yeah.
And that was... He was flying. He was going top speed. The difference is he was just barely there.
Yeah, and this is the first I've heard the idea that he wasn't called for the impeding during, like, after the DeMello thing. Because I don't even know that if there's contact there, it is a whisper. We're trying to have a hockey league here.
It's a whisper
full of adults.
It's a whisper in the blue paint against a Vezina type goalie.
This is a zag for zag's sake. That's ridiculous.
It was awful.
Listen.
I was going to say, would you be saying this if it was the Leafs in the playoffs? We're like, yes, you'd be saying it even more if it was the Leafs in the playoffs.
No. I tell you, and listen, I'm with you. It's a tough call. It's a really tough call. And just to remind people that it goes back to a war room, right? It goes back to Toronto.
Yeah.
Like, there's what, 3-4 guys in there? Like, they're arguing too.
For sure.
They're sitting there going, that's a good goal, that's a bad goal.
Absolutely. There are people in who made that decision who disagree with the final call, I'm sure.
So you know what happens when that happens?
They call in Gary?
No, they go back to the official.
Yes. Well, that's what happened here is the official made a bad call. They didn't want to overrule him, so they go, I guess.
The mandate from the general managers is if there's like splits.
Yeah.
You say yes, you say no, you say yes, you say no. Then you go back to the official with the original call.
S-A-W-F-T, Saul.
And I will say this, one last thing. The officials, they don't like overturning themselves.
No.
Well, of course. Okay. I mean, they don't want to prove
that
they're right.
That's for sure a huge part of it.
It looks bad.
That is for sure.
I get to decide my call. That's like Gary being the final arbitrator on a...
I will set the punishment, and then if you appeal, it'll go to me.
You think I'm going to make my... If you're all split, why am I not going to go with my original call?
Let me think about it. No.
Yeah, it turns out I'm right still.
And that's all that happened Saturday night.
Hey, good for Willie for going there. I'm sure if you're Sheldon Keefe, you say, we'll take that penalty you took there all day long.
How about old Bert? Just can't get off the schneid.
I feel bad.
Puck lands on a stick, right in the slot, shoots it in a wide open net. They're like,
Not for you.
Not today, buddy.
I feel bad for Bertuzzi, who I thought was wonderful on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Way to describe a hockey player. He played very well.
Three games, three wins, three goals allowed, .960 save percentage. How'd you see him Saturday night?
He's back.
Mm-hmm. Oh God! Oh my God!
He's back.
Don't be one of those. He's back.
Like back to what?
Yeah. Like seriously.
Know. Being okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Back to being okay. Listen, I'll give him. He made some big saves too.
He did.
He made some big saves Saturday night.
He makes a save on Kyle Connor when it's 1-1 late in the second period from the slot.
Yeah.
And you know what I liked is like he's deep in the crease. He comes out like he's not. Already overcommitted to it.
Yeah.
I don't know. He looks really good. He looks like he did last year.
There was a moment, and Simmer pointed it out on the broadcast, where after the first one goes in, he's like, it looked like Columbus Sammy for like two or three minutes.
I saw two or three incidences where I saw him swimming. Way left on a couple occasions. And give him full credit again. He makes the saves that he needed to, but... This one's going to be far before I ever utter the words.
He's back.
Back.
But the thing to me.
I don't even believe what I'm saying when I say it, but it's like, you're asking what I saw. It's tough. You look like Sammy.
I think there's two things. Like, back, like, he looked in these last three games better than he's ever looked for the Leafs.
This
like,
season.
This season. No, I think, like, there's an argument to be said that he was better in these three or four games. How many?
Three good games here.
That he had looked at any point even last year.
I don't believe that for 1 second.
Yeah.
Close.
Was it 909 last year? Yeah. Or 911?
Yeah, I mean, he's got a 960 save percentage through three games.
No,
yeah.
He's had some fantastic saves. You want to tell me he's made some of the best saves since he's been a Leaf on a couple of...
Yes.
But.
I mean, it feels like it's on a knife's edge. Like, we talked about him being high maintenance and, like, them having to baby him and talk. Like, this could easily go the other way immediately.
Right.
So... I don't know. I'll give him credit, but I think he's back to being a capable NHL goalie. How about that?
Like the first goal he let in.
Hated it.
On the first shot.
Hated it.
I didn't like
it. Yeah, I didn't like it either. That was old Sammy.
Yeah.
Where it's like he can't find the puck and you didn't have your short side covered.
Yeah.
When you're cheating on that side, at the very least, cover off that post.
That post, yeah.
Right, and if it beats you on the far side, it beats you on the far side. But you can't give up,
you know,
anything short side when you are already there looking.
Not long after that, Lowry gets the chance coming in on 2-on-1, and then Lowry picks Matthews' pocket as a breakaway.
No. Hold on. You're getting way ahead here.
Is that way ahead?
It's way ahead because I think the next shift and a half, Gio goes behind the net.
Oh my God, falls.
And falls. And I think it was Liljegren who's waiting in the corner, and now it's Cole Perfetti with a 2-on-0 in front of the net with Vlardy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Vlardy delays and goes back to Cole Perfetti. If he just wires it, it's 2-0 on two shots on goal.
Oh my God.
And you might even pull him.
You want to talk about the narrative?
Nice edge. Yeah.
You want to talk about a narrative there? It's like a different story.
This
there.
Is the nice so, edge so episode.
Two guys are on the inches away
career.
From
career. Yeah. What a great weekend. Two careers saved by fortunate breaks.
Thank God it didn't turn out that way.
Yeah.
That's all.
Oh my God.
Anyways, that's what I saw.
We'll go to Sheldon.
So I listened to Samsonov talking about it. Him, his mom, his dad, his wife, and his kid are going to Mexico for the break. He talked about that.
Okay. Do we like that?
Go rest, Sammy.
Yeah.
Yes. Go rest.
Get out of town, kid.
I mean, you've been doing all. You went to an all inclusive before. You
sure have.
Figured life out.
Yeah.
Resting.
It's different with your
relaxing.
Family. He's got a newborn, his mom and dad there.
I was
it's
with my
different.
Family last Christmas, and I acted kind of the same as I usually do.
Your family might not, although his Russian family may also like the vodka. I don't know.
But did you hear Luke Fox talk on JD's podcast about his dad coming?
No.
Yeah, he had this like really good answer about apparently during the week off, his father came over and like really like sat him down and had a conversation, like a man-to-man conversation about how you're like a father and you're a grown man.
Real men stop pucks, he said.
I'm not ready to give credit to the 100 goalie coaches. I'm just giving credit to Sammy's dad. Got to figure it out.
Shout out to, senior. I don't know his name.
Whatever it takes.
Yes.
Right?
Let's hear what Sheldon Keefe had to say there. Clip 3 on Ole Samsonov.
Yeah, no question. You know, he was tested a lot tonight. You know, as much as I liked our game, I thought we gave up. You know, we gave up more than what we've been giving up here in recent games. And he was really good again here tonight, just battling but looking confident. And again, you know, the work that he's done here of late, now going into the break, a chance now to take a breath and regroup and come back refreshed but confident. We're thrilled for him.
Okay, we're gonna go to break, but I just want to get your thoughts on just where this is heading for Samsonov and what we think is a Joseph Woll who may be still maybe a couple of weeks, but like if Samsonov's starting game one in the playoffs, like is it because of what he started now?
Yeah.
Or is it going to be because Joseph Woll came in and showed that he wasn't quite ready here? So where is this heading now for Samsonov, in your opinion?
Well, it's a great question, and it's one the Leafs will be trying to answer. I know the dream scenario is he goes full Stu Skinner, where he just irons out what happened at the start of the year and suddenly looks really good. If you flash back 3 months ago, we thought, and everyone thought, the plan was Samsonov as your starter, right? Like, Wohl will challenge him. Will it be 50-50? Will it be 60-40? He was kind of the incumbent 1A. So, yeah, I think it's headed to finding out if he can put some sort of consistent run together. I don't know that you have a ton of time to find another goalie. It's almost like you're just trying to put him in a position to succeed and cross your fingers.
Don't you think that their ideal scenario is to be able to kind of lighten the load here on Wohl when he comes back, have another guy be there to play, be good, and then get Wohl back to full steam and have him start game one?
To me, that probably feels
like the ideal plan.
I agree. I know that one thing that they have had questions about Samsonov with is expectations and pressure, where they don't believe that he's thrived over his NHL career. Those will build again, and to make him the starting goalie game one is really tough to see right now. So the hope is that Wohl's great.
It doesn't sound, from what we gathered in all the last few days, that Joseph Wall's ready to come back the moment the All-Star weekend's over. Mm-hmm. So you got to assume between February 5th and maybe mid-February, that's five games right there, that Samsonov could have
three starts,
four maybe.
I bet he's going to start against the Islanders.
There's no back-to-backs, but it's every other night. February 5th, Islanders, 7th, Dallas, 10th, Ottawa, 13th. So there's 3 days in between two of those starts. I would think Samsonov has a chance to get four out of five there to build off of whatever we've seen so far. But eventually, Wohl's going to get his chance to come back and see where he can pick up where he left off.
Has Samsonov earned the right to have a bad game yet? Like, how many times does he have to play well before you can say, well, all goalies, even great goalies, have bad nights?
Yeah, he comes back from Old Mexico Monday night and he lets in five. It's like, well, I probably would mind seeing Martin Jones on Wednesday.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think it's like I
still
said,
on nice a knife's edge.
For sure.
Just a slightly thicker knife.
Yeah. I think he needs 3 weeks, a month of playing well.
Can't have a bad game.
Well, I don't know what your interpretation of a bad game is.
Columbus.
Right?
Getting shelled.
Yeah, he can't give up three goals on 12 shots. Right?
Can you save that clip of what Kip just said?
You can't go.
Because we're going to need that.
You can't go down 3 or 4-0. That's all. Yeah. That's a bad game. Not losing.
Have you noticed Andrei Vasilevsky's playing really well again in this division? And Tampa's hot?
Well,
I hadn't noticed that.
Vasilevsky.
Florida, Boston, and Tampa. Can they lose?
No. No one loses this division. Leafs won both their games against the top team. Made up no ground.
If the season ended today, I would be perfectly fine with that.
What
with
we
the
got?
Standings.
Well,
they'd be
a wild card?
The two Florida teams are beating the crap out of each other for 6 or 7 games. And the Leafs will be, they play in the Rangers. Not exactly a cup of tea.
Oh, you would take that in a heartbeat.
Oh, my God.
Bring me the Rangers.
Any non-Atlantic division team.
They have to match up better against Boston than they do Florida.
The Leafs?
I think so.
Oh, no question.
I don't think Boston's. So, you guys know how I feel about them.
Yeah, so there's no reason now to win consistently.
Oh, yeah. That's always worked.
Is that what you're saying, Sammy?
Try to middle it. That always works.
It's helpful that the Islanders can't win a hockey match because they're the wild card team chasing.
Wow. We'll get into that a little later.
It's actually a big game Monday now that I look at this.
It looks like there's a few teams that aren't interested in making the playoffs right now in the East.
No kidding.
Okay, we'll get into that and more. We're going to take a quick break here. Still plenty to talk about in our Leaf edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show, including Tavares. Is he back, boys? We'll get into that more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Your daily dose of everything NFL. It's the Fan Checkdown with Matt Marchese and Donovan Bennett. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Who's in for Derek Brandeo?
Andrew Adams.
Double A.
Pushing all the right buttons for us.
Welcome back.
Did we give Derek the day off?
No, but you guys also didn't give me the day off those Fridays.
So. It turns out we don't have that kind of authority.
Fair enough. Where do you want to pick up? We want to probably just go over a few of, I don't know, what do you call it, midterms? Or?
I mean, we're at a break here. It seems like a good time to reflect a little bit on the first half, generous way to phrase it, first half of the Toronto Maple Leaf season. You want to run through the big dogs and see what we think?
Yeah, we can. Kind of left before we went to break talking about John Tavares breaking his goose egg on a power play goal Saturday night. You want to get Sheldon's thought of JT, and then we'll pick it up from there?
Sure.
John's been working real hard in games. He's been working diligently off the ice, but also just, you know, keeping things in perspective and not getting frustrated. Power play obviously needed a big response here today, and we got that. John to come through for us and the way that we would expect that he might, and being in front and getting a stick on a puck. It's a huge goal for us, a huge moment in the game.
So his response kind of told everything you needed to know in terms of how much it was bothering him, because much like we felt good about Ryan Reeves or Samsonov's win since being called up from the Marlies, you felt for John and the relief just by the body language in and itself.
Yeah. I don't know how, if you've ever had any really long streaks not scoring.
Once upon a time, I was a goal scorer. Yeah. And when you don't score, it's like taking oxygen away from
you. It's brutal. My old teammate, Olivier Labelle, still makes fun of me for my celebration after breaking about a 19-game goalless drought. Like, it's brutal. And so I get the relief.
What'd you do?
I believe it was just a direct arm to the slide. Looked skyward. No, it wasn't a dramatic one. It was more of a thank you, merciful God, sort of hockey gods sort of thing. Yeah. But yeah, so I get it. I get how he's.
The only thing moving forward here, and he's going to get a nice break, he's going to spend time with his family, his kids, is what do we see out of John Tavares going into the last half of this season here, and will he come back to his point of game pace? Will he look like a threat once again? And the power play goal was great. A goal's a goal. But if I'm not mistaken, he spent now a quarter of the season without an even strength goal.
I think it's half the season. I think he's 20 games without a 5-on-5 goal.
Really?
Yeah. It's a really long time.
It's a really long time. Yeah. Now, is that just where John's now at the stage of his career, or is this just...
Better hope not.
Well...
Better hope not. I mean, you know, this team is built on, you know, four guys driving the offense. He's still creating a lot of shots. I would bet money on Tavares. In fact, I might bet money on him scoring and multiple goals over the next five games. Like, after the break, little time off, he's off the schneid. I could see him shooting a few in the net and kind of finding his stride a little bit again. I don't know that he's ever going to be back to driving the play. It was like a thing when I used to follow the Islanders that he would make wingers, you know, made a star out of Pozo and Molson and
Josh Bailey,
and Pageau and Bailey. You know, he's not doing that anymore. But he can be on the other end of it for some pretty good players that they do have. So I think he'll still score some goals again. His point per game pace, by the way, he's at 35 points in 47 games now. So he's well. I know this.
He's on pace for 60 points this year.
Yeah.
Which has to be really disappointing, right?
Sure.
At this stage when has to be the 1-2 punch with Austin.
If you had said at the start of his contract, though, to Leafs fans, what do you expect for output at the tail end of this deal? They'd have said, if he's still chipping in 60, 70 points, you could live with it because you're getting the upfront where he's going to be so great. I know people don't feel like maybe they got the value at the start of the deal that they hope some. Yeah, that hurts now, but.
That's the problem, is that you're paying the quote-unquote tax when you're still trying
to win.
Right? When you haven't gotten to where you thought you were going to get, you're still like, oh, well, we're paying the way more than we should be.
Yeah,
like you're probably paying $3 to $4 million over value for him.
Saturday night, sure. He's working his ass off.
Yeah,
and he's finishing checks. He's moving his feet, but it's just at that 5-on-5. it's just hasn't been enough to get him back to being a legitimate threat right now.
Yes. I was just trying to find that exact stat on how long it's been for you.
It's a long
time. 22 games since he scored a 5-on-5 goal.
A long time. Yeah.
Zero. He's shooting 0-for-50 over that stretch.
We heard from Sheldon saying depth scoring. I'm not sure if you want to put Benoit and,
and
Reeves as, hey, good sign.
Yeah.
I think the depth needs to come from Nyes and Bertuzzi and
But and Bertuzzi's Kampf. Not depth.
Yeah, he's supposed to be
He's making the most of any forward outside the four guys. I don't think he's depth. You can only have, like,
anyone
Robertson's
past the
depth.
Core four we're calling depth.
Okay, Robertson's depth.
Yeah.
You know, like, those other, Kampf, Gregor, Reeves, that's depth.
Yeah.
I'm on a hard time saying depth.
Yep. Too many consonants in our mouth.
Broadcast.
Okay, so you want to start, you want to go first with where you think some of these guys are?
I want to start at the top here, Brad Treliving. How would you judge his performance thus far?
Well, listen, I think all we're going to judge is on four signings. And for the most part.
So you're doing Reeves, Klingberg, Domi, Bertuzzi.
Martin Jones, five.
Benoit.
Six.
Gregor.
Seven.
Lagesson.
The major ones have been disappointing, right? And for sure you can grade him well on those smaller pickups in that depth role, but he's got to take a hit on Klingberg for me, which I never liked from absolutely day one.
Yeah, it's funny. You can go 5-for-5 on your depth signings, but when you miss on the ones you spent all the money on, you know, the Bertuzzi, Klingberg, Domi money, his turn, you know, Domi's been fine. He's been worth $3 million. But
I will say this, too, is that we can sit there and judge and say that was horrible, but when you're in his shoes with the limited resources and the choices that were out there, sometimes you think doing something is better than doing nothing at all.
Did you want Vlad Tarasenko for the Bertuzzi money? Would that have been better? Probably not.
I would definitely not Tarasenko in that dressing room.
Right. So, you know, I'm just thinking of guys who were $5 million and free agents this summer that you could have had. It's like, you know, and Bertuzzi, even though he's not producing offensively, like a game like Saturday night is a good example where I found him really useful. I thought his line was very good, and he makes, you know, little plays in the forecheck. And
Vlad Tarasenko, by the way, 32 points in 43 games plus 13 on the
is he really?
Ottawa Senators.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Oh, someone's going to take him for the...
Tarasenko.
Yes.
At the deadline here.
Yes. Yeah, someone's going to take him. I need scoring that badly.
Yeah.
I mean, he's having a pretty good year. I'm surprised by these numbers.
I'm surprised anyone is plus on Ottawa.
Plus 13 is a pretty high number. Like, somebody's going to trade for him. And
only one guy is higher than that on the Leafs. Matthews is plus 14. He's the highest guy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Matthews scores his 40th goal.
Kaboom!
Fewest games the last 25 years. I will say this.
Okay.
I'll be hard-pressed to find two worse games he's played as a Leaf than the last two, where he scored game-winning goals in both.
Oh, yeah, because they scored at the end, so that turned out to be the winner. Yeah, it's true.
He was not very good Saturday night.
Yeah. They turned the puck over a lot.
Hey, that 5-on-3 goal, and I'm fine. That's 100%.
Was not. Okay. He's got an all-star weekend. He's got to sell T-shirts with Biebs.
Sure, all that.
Yes.
But when you're going up against the Leafs on a 5-on-3, and you're, all right, what are we taking away? You might want to start with the league's best goal scorer from the hash marks, ceiling scraping one timer.
Yeah. That's my Vezina goalie who's making 8.5. Just try to stop it best you can.
Good luck, I'm
out of this.
You could add two hella bucks in there. That's going in.
Yeah.
He hit that so hard.
Yeah. What an awesome play by Marner, who gets a wobbling puck and one touch flattens it for him.
I know you make fun of me for this kind of stuff, and you'll be like, oh, yeah, regular season. I know what you're going to say. But, you know, as Leaf fans, and people listening to this are obviously Leaf fans, we used to get excited when Phil Kessel would be like, oh, he's getting near, he's got 37 for the full season. It's not February, he's 40.
Alex. I know.
It's ridiculous. And like,
it's great.
I know. And here we go. Here it comes. You know?
I think it's great.
I think it's great.
But where you are with a bar and where I am with a bar is a little different. Right?
Yeah, you're beating that bar way down for me, pal.
Matthews is Kip's like gifted child in class. Where it's like, I'm hard on you because I believe in you. I'm hard on you because I believe
and
you
I
can
know
do
there's
so
more,
much more.
There's more to give besides pushing the puck over the red line.
I don't hold the other kids to the same standard as you because you're so special.
Yeah. He's the Baltimore quarterback. He's Lamar.
He's Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
Oof. That's right? Scarily accurate.
But you're going to go up against a Patrick
Mahomes
in the playoffs.
The Panthers.
And how are you going to be?
That's a tough parallel.
Right?
Actually, there is a decent parallel to have where Tampa made it multiple years, where they beat the Leafs and they made it to the final. And that was kind of like their last stand.
Yeah.
There's a parallel there that the Chiefs are the Lightning. I'll hear it. So, anyways, I think it's
fantastic.
I think it's awesome.
He is the greatest goal scorer in the league, in the world right now, all of it. Mm-hmm. But is it driving the team to a place? Is he bringing enough around him? Is he making a lot of people around him better?
Or is he just making himself better? There is an amount of goal scoring where all these other criticisms are like it's like Brad Tree Living's fringe signings. He's scored 40 times in 46 games. He's doing stuff people haven't done in terms of producing goals in the history of the league. He's there with Ovechkin and Gretzky. Well, he's the greatest ever.
He's not doing it since the guy did last year. But before that, it was Pavel Bure.
He did it. He did it faster than the guy did it last
year. Yeah.
He did the fastest since, what'd you say?
Since McDavid.
In 25 years. Faster than McDavid last
year.
So, you know, it's like, yeah, he could do some other fringe things great. This team without Matthews is Nashville.
Celebrini.
You know, like, it's what he is doing with these goals. So if he had 30 goals and you're like, yeah, clean up the defense, fine. Marner, every goal Marner scored, he scored again that game, he'd be at Matthews' goal total. Every time. Double the goals. Like, it's an insane amount of goals.
It is a legendary amount of goals. Yes. Like, he will be one of the best all time. Regardless if he wins anything, he'll be one of the best goal scorers of all time. And he plays the Leafs.
Yeah.
And
but
no
we need him to be one of the best players of all time.
And I get that.
That's all.
And you're right. It's going to get to playoffs, and you're not going to want to see him score twice in seven games.
Well,
what's
McDavid on pace for?
120 points, probably.
Goals. We're talking about a 60-plus goal scorer last year.
Yeah, we did this last show.
Yeah, what's his pace?
I have no idea.
30-40. Yeah.
This is the best his team has ever played around him since he joined the NHL. He's never felt better about his team, and he's on pace for 35 goals.
Yeah, maybe his team's better. He's on pace for 37
maybe
goals.
Maybe he's made them better.
Yeah. Could be, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Maybe they were Sammy's before, and now the Sammy's bars have gotten a lot higher.
It would be fascinating to swap these two guys.
But look at look at
Matthews
McKinnon
there with Dreisaitl and Kane and Hyman and Nuge and, you know.
We'll give him an A.
Oh, yeah.
You're better.
So. What else did you give him?
An A plus. I'm not giving him an A plus.
He scored 40 goals in four.
Yeah, I know. But he's on pace for 30 assists.
How about McKinnon? He scores every goal for his team.
Yeah, he's doing all right.
He has 84 points. It's in 49 games.
I know. Right. He is like 15 points on McDavid at this point, isn't he?
Yeah, he's out of this world. Anyways. Yeah.
He's out of this world. There's a guy that has, like, his bar is off. McDavid, Crosby, McKinnon, their bars are, like, you're scared. As an athlete, as a teammate, you're scared every day you're around them that your bar's not close enough to theirs.
I've watched a lot of Avalanche and McDavid this year, and Penguins, because I like watching those three guys. McKinnon's far and away the best this year. That's not even close.
No one has ever played hockey faster than Nate McKinnon is playing it this year.
Really?
He is like, he's 150 speed bursts faster than the next guy, like over 20 miles per hour. It is unbelievable the pace he's playing at.
All right. That's just like that, our first hour's over. Plenty more to come on our national hour, including some talk on Columbus. What is going on here, guys?
Lots of bad.
They're making headlines constantly for all the wrong reasons. Aaron Portsline covers the Blue Jackets for The Athletic. Will join us next. Plenty more on Real Kipper and Bourne. Don't go away.